Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Hey Shanae Show, like recently rebranded to be the Hey Shanae Show. It's still grown as fandom, but I'm going to explain that in a little bit. I have not been on this feed in a long time. If you are somebody who just listens to the podcast on here and you're not on Substack, you haven't heard from me for a while. So hello, how are you? By the way, join the Substack. Even if you join it for free, sometimes there's free podcasts on there. I just haven't been good at uploading to this feed. I'm hoping that I will get better moving forward because we do have a new rebranded show. It's called the Hey Shanae Show. I really wanted to create a space that embodies more, like, a lot of the different types of things that I want to talk about that are just not, you know, BTS or anything like that. It's about a bunch of other things. I don't want to be like tied down. Like, I want to talk about my writing. I want to talk about business, branding. I want to talk about, like, all sorts of stuff. And so we're going to test out the Hey Shanae Show for a while. And the way I envision it working is that, like, there will be, like, different shows under this feed. So, like, if there's going to be an episode that's just about fandom stuff, it'll be grown-ass fandom, and you can still search it and find it. It's just under the Hey Shanae Show feed. Like, I want to do interviews, and I just want to do lots of different stuff. And so I just wanted this space to feel a little bit more inclusive and open and streamlined. So don't worry. Grown ass fandom is still here. We're going to talk about some stuff today. And by the way, like, if you had been looking for my opinions on the Yoongi release, oh my God, because I haven't posted since last November with the Blackpink concert. But since then, I have posted podcasts about Yoongi. I've done intensive reviews of his album, Jimin's album. I've done intensive reviews of Namjoon's album. A lot of that stuff is on the Substack. And the reason why a lot of it's on the Substack is just that, like, it's really hard out here to be, like, talking about some of these, like, touchier issues because nobody feels like getting attacked by ARMY. Nobody feels like going through that stuff. So if you want the, like, real tea, and also if you want the discussion, all that happens on Substack. It's a really cool, fun, simple community where everybody's on the same page. So if that's something you're into, definitely go to the Substack. I will be updating here, but I'm gonna keep it, what's the word, like, not as controversial. So if I have any, like, really controversial, deeper takes, those will go on the Substack, especially since this is JK month. So I obviously cover BTS a lot. And since I kind of moved from this podcast, I've really gotten to kind of, like, dive deep into sort of, like, the psychological aspects of BTS and ARMY. And JK especially is such a unique and special subject for me to talk about because I feel like he embodies everything that I talk about when it comes to, like, obsession, fandom, sort of the ways in which we attach to these idols and K-pop culture, desirability, sex, and sort of, like, the desire of women is so wrapped up in JK because as a figure, he's somebody who is both kind of, like, a sexual being for people while also having this sort of, like, innocence about him that makes him really accessible and even more sexually kind of, like, desirable for women who desire safety above all else. And I feel like that's what's really fun, fresh, and cool about JK. And that's why I'm super excited to talk about him and what he's been up to. I'm excited to listen to the song. I'm going to admit I have not been a huge fan of JK's output in the past. A lot of his songs are just, like, not my thing, and I don't feel like that they really, like, honor and celebrate his voice in a way that I feel like it needs to be celebrated. But I am kind of biased because I am, at my core, a Mai Time stan. I love Mai Time. I think that vocal performance and sort of, like, the physical performance of Mai Time is, like, where I feel like he should live because of his song. Lately, I've been so obsessed with, by the way, I did a podcast. I keep talking about the Substack, but I did a podcast on there where I kind of created my playlist, my dream BTS K-pop playlist. And I had recently fell in love with the song Love Maze again. I'm obsessed with Love Maze. I just think it's such a good song. And that vocal run from JK in that part, like it's so good. Also, this is gonna be a hot take. Maybe it's not a hot take, but BTS's music is very good. It's very good. I like went through the whole spiel and I just am like such a lover of their music, and especially like pre, like from 2019 and like before that. I feel like it's just the production and everything else has been so incredible. But also I've really enjoyed the solo releases, so I'm very excited to see what JK does with his music. Like, what is he gonna do? The images actually came out today as I'm recording this, and so I figure they'd be worth talking about. What I find so fascinating about JK's images is that they're very much in line with the kind of Calvin Klein images. And as a whole, I feel like the vision for him is like very 90s, like 90s nostalgia, heartthrob type of energy. What I do find interesting is that they're not very specifically personal to JK. So I don't feel like the images are kind of really alluding to any particular type of specific vision, especially since they are so in alignment with the CK imagery. So I'm very curious to see what kind of comes up with it. I have a lot, like I said, I go really deeply. I swear this is not just a promotion for my Substack. I'm not going to mention it anymore. But if you would like to kind of hear me go deeper into some of these like concepts and ideas I have about JK, go to the Substack. There's also essays on there, all that stuff. So I thought the images were really interesting from that perspective of like, is it like a really integrated CK campaign, or was it like he liked the way he looked in those photos, so he felt like that would be a good vision for his other work? I know that when they did their like portfolio things where they did sort of like their individual images where they were like, you know, JK's was the vampire, which I found really an interesting perspective for him to take, as because he's a vampire a lot in the fanfics. And I mean it is always really interesting to see like what aspects of JK are we really getting, especially considering how he's really layered a lot of intimacy into his, our experience of him has a lot more layers of intimacy than it did before. You know, his long lives where he's working out or he's cooking with us and he's doing all these things are just like interesting on their face, because it's like true K-pop intimacy where you are getting that feeling of togetherness and you're getting that feeling of kind of intimacy. I wrote an essay. I'm gonna mention the subject again. Don't get mad at me. But I wrote an essay about his lives and how they bummed me out, but how it's like true, like one of the sort of appeals and excitements about K-pop is that you get to kind of get this feeling of intimacy without sort of the risk of truly being intimate with somebody. The reason why K-pop thrives is because it kind of almost fulfills that need for complete intimacy. And that's ultimately why K-pop feels sometimes like an endless well of lust that has no ending, that feels like it's endless. Like if you're somebody who feels like your love and your devotion and your lust for these men is endless, it's by design, because a thing that grounds real life intimacy is the danger of it, is sort of the reciprocation of it, because there is something innately grounding and affirming and like satiating that comes from having somebody not just kind of look at you as a unit, but look at you as a person. And that's something that you can't get from K-pop, but it's something you're constantly chasing without knowing it. In K-pop is this idea, and he provides that so well with his lives. Specifically is this kind of experience of feeling like you're in this relationship with him, and again it feels endless in yearning and all that stuff by design. So in those contexts, he's like such a revelation. But it's going to be interesting to see how much of that barrier he's going to cross with the actual work. Like, how much of himself is he going to let us see of him, of like, to know of him? Are we gonna understand or know? Because like I say all the time, anytime anybody's like, I'm in love with so and so, I'm like, please give me 5 facts about them. And you can't, because I mean, that's the point, you know, that's the point. I feel like that last part was a little touchy, but yeah, because you know, some people don't like to think of it that way. But as far as like some of the specific imagery that is in it, that'll kind of come later. But I just wanted to kind of very quickly touch on the JK of it all, talk about his sort of like the pictures, and like, what are some of your predictions for the song? Like, do I predict that it's going to be sort of like a white boy kind of sad boy anthem, which is something he really loves? He loves a white boy sad boy anthem. I hope not. I am hoping for something again more like My Time-ish, even though I know that he has like a sort of an EDM type of sensibility. I'm really hoping for R&B, because I feel like that's his, where he goes. But I know he loves to blow, man. He loves to sing. So I wouldn't be surprised if he's going to choose a song that really allows him to kind of like flex that instrument, because when it comes to like him creating on his own time within his own accord, he likes to sing, man. He's a born singer. That was a good song. BTS is good, everybody. So let me know what you think. Of find me on the Substack, by the way, or on Instagram at Grown Ass Fandom, or on my Substack is Hey Shanae, and tell me, what do you think about the JK pictures? What do you predict is going to happen? Because this is going to come out before that. So let's see what happens. All right. So that's JK. Moving on. So like I said, I want Hey Shanae to be sort of like an extension of like all the different things I want to talk about. And so I also wanted to talk about, I wanted to do sort of like a review of the first half of the year, especially since you haven't heard from me unless you're listening to this on the subject, you haven't heard from me in the last half year. And so I wanted to do a review of like the things I've liked, didn't like, favorite like K-pop stuff in general, favorite like general stuff in general, and some other stuff I want to talk about. Also want to talk about NewJeans. So we're just going to go into my favorites list, and make sure you share with me what you are like really into, and like how the first half of your year has been. So kind of like basically my overall review of the first half of the year has been rough. It's been like extremely rough. And I know that like people who follow me has like, girl, like be for real. Like it's always rough. And maybe that's it. I was talking to a friend of mine and she's like, yeah, I know about those stretches, because life is long. And I think that at my age, it's kind of like hard to conceive of like having a 2 to 3 year stretch that's as kind of like challenging as mine has been. But apparently that happens. You have stretches of life that are kind of more challenging. And so the first half of this year especially was very challenging for like my mental health. And a big reason why I wasn't uploading is that I just realized that I had sort of like run out completely of capacity. Just like kind of one thing that I've learned about myself is that I need to be able to like push and rest. And one thing that I was doing is just like pushing, and then wondering why I had nothing left. So even earlier this year, I think around February or March, I had like a complete and utter shutdown. Like couldn't do anything, took some time off. But then after I took the time off, I just started pushing some more. So I think a big thing that I had to learn about myself is how to work and how to create in a way that doesn't make me so stressed and overwhelmed, and eventually hit this wall that I was continuously hitting, where I felt like I could like not do anything else. And I think that when you have structures like Substacks and you have an audience, it's really easy to kind of like create in a way to where you're not really necessarily serving yourself first and foremost. And so when you're not serving yourself with your content first and foremost, and like doing and flowing with things that feel good to you, it's easy to burn out. It's easy to feel resentful. It's easy to feel frustrated, because ultimately you're like, I did this for you. Why don't you want it? What do you want from me? And so I have to really shift that energy as well, and making sure that I'm creating and saying and doing things that feel like ultimately really kind of like exciting to me, because it's impossible to sustain otherwise, especially for, like I said, creative content. And I think capitalism truly ruins everything. So like wrapping your worth and your work up in capitalism too tightly always leads to disaster, because again, ultimately your creation, for me, I have the personality where my creation needs to be expanded. That. So that's like one of the big things I learned, is that if I'm going to create, I have to create and do things in a way that works for me. And I think especially because I am in a lot of ways still a K-pop creator. When you're a K-pop creator, I think because K-pop, people who follow K-pop have kind of like a K-pop sensibility, where it's like you're being served exactly what you want in the way that you want it, because that's how it's designed. And so I think that as K-pop creators, we often also go in that same kind of, it's easy to fall into that trap as well of just sort of like creating to serve this sort of like endlessly hungry audience. And I, like I said earlier in this podcast, it's impossible to please a lot of K-pop fans long term in this really deep way, because it is an endless well and people move on and all that stuff. So for me and my creation, and sort of part of the rebranding of this podcast, is just like, yo, your girl's gotta do what she wants to do. At the end of the day, if I want to talk about Namjoon's titties and JK's titties, I gotta do it because I want to, not because I feel like I should. Again, like, I'm sorry, I'm talking about JK again. You know that that shot, like, I call it his like BJ face. Can I say that? I don't, this podcast isn't like has any sponsors or anything. If you want to sponsor the podcast, reach out to me. I'm sorry, that's Alfred making noises. Alfred's still kicking. He has this face that he does in the images, and I call it his BJ face because it looks like he's being serviced. And he's been doing it for years. It's like whenever he wants to kind of like be sexy, he'll like look up and he's like, let me think about the last time I was serviced. Do you know what I'm talking about? Oh my God, what was I talking about? Yeah, so anyways, that's kind of like the big overall picture of the first half of the year. It was rough, but I feel like the second half of the year is going to be good. But I enjoyed a bunch of things. So here's my list of things that I enjoyed the first half of this year as my favorites. Okay, so my favorite sort of like BTS moment / release of the ones that we got, I guess it's just Yoongi and Jimin. I loved Like Crazy. I think Like Crazy is such a perfect song. Like, I loved it. What I didn't love was Jimin's hair. I am not somebody who's a believer in the mullet. I have to be really convinced. And people are not convincing me. And I know that, like, that presentation in, like, the mullet and all that is, I'm not gonna talk about that. That's like a subject thing. But like, I mean, I know people really love it, but for me, it's not for me. And maybe it's because I'm just like old and I like can't see the vision. I also was not crazy, and I'm still not crazy about JK's hair. Like, it's such a detriment to his, because I like it cut. For me, all the members, every single fucking member looks better when their hair is like gone. I think the only member who, no, they all look good with short hair. They all look good with shorter hair. And I am especially a JK short hair believer. And I think his energy when he has shorter hair, I think is something different. I think he hides a little bit behind the longer hair. So, and I think it also could be because he said this before, that he doesn't feel confident. Like, he only wears his hair short when he feels really confident. And so I think that's what gets into that too. But like, all the members, short hair, I'm into it. So I really loved Like Crazy. I also saw the Suga concert and I loved it. I loved Ha. So my favorite song on that album was Ha, and that Suga just like performance with J-Hope. J-Hope in that song, he sounds like he's like whispering to your cat. And by cat, I'm not talking about felines. You know what I'm saying? Like, he really sounds like he's like whispering to the cat. So those are like two of my favorite BTS moments of this year. Also, the Namjoon cover of Vogue. Boy, I was like, what if I just fling myself off this side of the road and into oncoming traffic? What then? What then? Namjoon pisses me off because he's always frustrating me. I mean, he like frustrates me so much. And his fans, I'm a fan. I'm like a Jake, of course I am. People see me as a Namjoon fan. And like when people refer to me, they're like, oh, she's like a Namjoon bias. But you know, I don't believe in bias culture. The only bias I've ever had, or I will claim, is Jisoo. That's my girl. I struggle to leave her, but Namjoon's not my bias. But people think he's my bias, but he makes me upset. He frustrates me so much. But he's so hot. Oh, he's so sexy. Anyway, so those are my favorite BTS moments of the year so far. My favorite show. So my favorite show that I watched this year is Silo. It's on Apple Plus. It's like this post-apocalyptic show starring Rebecca Ferguson and Common, and they live underground. And it's kind of hard to explain. It's giving like, what was that movie that like, did you hear Alfred snoring? I can't do anything about it. We just have to deal with it. It's called, yes, Silo. It's on Apple Plus. It's like this post-op. I love Apple Plus. Like, also, last year, one of my favorite shows I watched was Severance. So I think Apple Plus has amazing shows. But yeah, Silo is incredible. It's on Apple Plus. If you haven't seen it, watch it. It's really good. Like, it had like a weekly release. So I would always kind of like wait around to watch it. And I would like tune in every Thursday or Friday. I am completely obsessed with that show. It has some slow parts in the middle, but it's a really good show. Similarly, I also watched the show Foundation, and it has Lee Pace, and I'm a huge Lee Pace fan. He's so good in it. The show is not good, but if you like Lee Pace, you should watch it. And it has a really interesting concept because the show Foundation is about, like, I don't even know what it's about because it's not very good. But you should watch it. You should watch it. You should watch it. It's good. Okay, so that's my favorite show is Silo on Apple Plus. Also, Lee Pace. Also, I liked The Night Agent on Netflix. It's also a good show. I really liked that show as well. So those are shows that I think I watched. Next, we're going to do my favorite book. So recently I read, actually, I don't know if this is my favorite book, but as you know, like, this book that became really like Twitter famous was the book This Is How You Lose the Time War. And I actually listened to it this past week. And I don't know. Like, I think that it's a sapphic time travel book. And I feel like a lot of you guys would really love it. And I would love to hear what you think of it so we can talk about it, because I don't really know what happened, but I think purely for vibes, I really, really, really liked it a lot. Like, I just thought that it was just like really beautiful written and very audacious. Like, again, I don't know what happened, but I love that it exists. And I'm working on my book, and oh my gosh, guys, oh my gosh, guys, I have something big to announce to you, and when you see it, you're gonna fucking lose your mind. But I can't say anything about it, but it's kind of related. So yes, I really enjoyed. Did I enjoy? I don't know. This Is How You Lose a Time War. I just thought that it was a really quick, really arresting read. As somebody who writes but does not write in sort of like a flowery manner, I write like very sparse. I just found it super enjoyable to listen to because it's real poetry. It's poetry. Another book I read was this year, How to Keep a House While Drowning. It's not a fiction book. It's a book that's about kind of keeping your apartment clean and like keeping your space clean when you have mental health issues, because as I said, I have mental health issues, and then like taking care of yourself and stuff, which is something that I had really needed because I had sort of let everything go to shit because I was in my mental health. And so I felt like she has, so it's called How to Keep a House While Drowning, and it's by Casey Davis, and she has such like really cool, interesting ideas and tips for how to keep a house well before drowning. One of the like my favorite tips that she shares in the book is she talks about like cleaning categories. So getting all the trash up first or getting all the laundry up. That tip has changed my life because I think that when I'm like approaching a room, I'm like, oh God, there's so much shit. But being able to like clean in categories has been so helpful. So that is a book I highly, highly recommend. I don't really read much, which is bad because I am a writer, but I find it hard to read while I'm writing something. But those are the books that I enjoyed. How to Lose a Time War and How to Keep a House While Drowning. Okay, so my favorite movie that I have seen this year is without a doubt the new Spider-Verse movie, Across the Spider-Verse. That shit was fucking incredible. It's just like such a marvel. It's such a feat. It just like, oh, it's like one of the most incredible things I've ever seen in my life. I fucking love Across the Spider-Verse and Miguel and like Spider-Punk and like how it was diverse and like beautiful, and I just love it. I'm sure you've seen it already, so I'm not telling you something that you don't know, but it was an incredible movie. The second movie that I've watched this year that is truly the way that I feel about, oh my gosh, do you hear my voice shake? The way that I feel about, I'm gonna cry. No, I'm not. I'm like ovulating. The way that I feel about Keanu Reeves and the way that I feel about John Wick 4. Like, I cannot, I wish, I like, I literally want to like put my head through a door. Like, I just love the movie so much. I love him so much. It was like the perfect movie watching experience. I was in love with everybody on that movie. Like, it's so good. Like, I don't even know. Again, do I have to talk about it? These are all so late. But there's a theme of this. It's like my favorite movie. But yeah, John Wick 4, I own it on streaming and I watch it pretty much every couple days. Like, I just enjoy it so much. I just love it so, so much. So that is another favorite of mine. Another favorite, or like a recent discovery as far as like content is concerned, is that I am obsessed with like those dog point of view videos. I feel like it's so goofy because clearly the dogs are not talking, but I live for days in the lives of dogs on TikToks. Like, it's truly the best content ever. Like, I love it. Like, it's what I go to TikTok for. I only go to TikTok for that and like food recipes. So I think that's another one of my like content picks, is I'm like, our new discoveries of this first half of the year is how much I enjoy the relaxing nature of dog content. So I really, 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 really love it. I just think it's the best, the best. Okay, let's see what else. Okay, let's do a list of random things that I also fell in love with this year. Clicky keyboards. I bought a clicky keyboard to type with. I'm obsessed with croissants these days. Oh, Pokemon Go. So one of the things that I've been doing with Alfred is I want to like walk longer distance. So I'm like, I haven't picked up Pokemon Go since 2016. And so I've recently become a Pokemon trainer and I'm in a lot of like disputes for controls over local gyms. It's like a whole thing. It's like a big part of my life. I'm obsessed with Pokemon Go. It, like, it's great because I exercise more and I am engaging with something I love, which is Pokemon Go. I also recently got into my Nintendo Switch and I'm obsessed with Pikmin. For me, I find that like video games are a great source of like to help me with my mental health. So when I am struggling with something, I'm like, let me go Pikmin, like, or like, let me go play Mortal Kombat. And it's very, very helpful. I recently got into oil painting. So me and my friend took an oil painting class. So now I'm like an oil painting girly. I can't draw for shit, but I'm doing my best. Not everything is about, you know, achievement and doing things. You know what I mean? Lifting at the gym. And I've recently gotten really into Voxer messages. I feel like there's way more that I could say about like what the first half of the year has provided me, but that's like a little thing. Oh, a big thing that happened is my book, my new book, Dear Plant Daddy, recently came to pre-order. So you can pre-order it on Amazon, and I'll have more formats very soon. I'm so excited. Dear Plant Daddy is basically like You've Got Mail, but with two plant owners. There's a character that is based on a BTS member, and I'm not going to tell you which one. You have to pre-order it and see kind of like who is the character you think I'm talking about. And I'm very, very excited about it. I'm also going to be launching a new podcast called How Did You Two Meet, and that will not be on this feed, actually. I don't think I need to decide whether or not I want to put it on the feed. I will decide. But How Did You Two Meet is basically a podcast about their little tiny romantic comedy audios that I am writing, and each has a premise of how two people met, and you'll get kind of like little drabbles and stuff about that in the Substack. So that's something that I'm very, very excited for that I'm also creating. So I'm trying to expand my scope. And I think that's it for this first introductory episode of the Hey Shanae Show. I feel like we dived deep into a lot of different things. We talked about our favorites. We talked about JK. I would love to hear your thoughts on your favorites and on JK. Again, if you want the real tea, if you want to support the creation of this podcast and get some community, get some cool essays, all sorts of great behind the scenes stuff, sign up for the Substack. It's heyshanae.substack.com. If you want to pre-order my book, it's just Dear Plant Daddy, wherever you know, just Amazon. Just Amazon right now. I need to expand it, but for right now, it's just Amazon. You can find me on TikTok at Hey Shanae and on Instagram at Hey Shanae and Grown Ass Fandom. I think that's it. Is there anything else we want to talk about, guys? Oh, I forgot to say, I really want to talk about New Jeans. The New Jeans phenomenon. How do you guys feel about New Jeans at this point? New Jeans is really fascinating to me because I feel like they're the future. I remember people are always asking me like, I'm not going to mention Substack, but I talked about this on Substack. It's like, what's the future for K-pop? You know, there's a lot of conversations about where K-pop is going and sort of like the increasing and decreasing popularity of certain groups and if it's going to have the staying power, especially now that BTS is, you know, e-wording. And I think that New Jeans is the future in that I feel like there's such aesthetics and vibes. The music is so Gen Z. The references are very Y2K. So they have this promo on TikTok where it's just like them, like Powerpuff versions of themselves. And so I just think that, and they're so young, and the relationship that I feel like they have with their audience is kind of like impersonal because they're so young. So you can't have, so like, you do have the younger people who have like the stan, kind of like a real like parasocial connection. But I feel like most of the people who listen to the music are not particularly connected to them as people and are just streaming and loving the music as sort of like in a very like almost Western way. That being said, I feel like they do have like this level of star power. Like they had the Coca-Cola song and all these streamings and stuff like that. And I think a lot of it is the cornerstones of New Jeans' success is music in a way that it's not for a lot of other artists. New Jeans' music is just incredible. Like, I mean, I've talked about this before. It's no secret that I'm not like crazy about BTS's group output since they like the last 2 years. And the fact of the matter is that BTS doesn't need to create music in order to sustain their career or expand. And I feel like that's the case with a lot of these artists, is they don't necessarily have to create music. Like, it's nice when they do, but it's not like integral to their kind of expansion and success as an artist or the money that they make. They can like repackage things and go on tour and like do nothing really. But for New Jeans, a huge draw, and especially the draw from people who are locals, quote unquote, seems to be the music. And I think that that's really fascinating as far as like when we're looking at what the future of K-pop looks like, and if we can sort of, if the industry can sort of sustain and maintain the level of secrecy and kind of like control over the artist required to make the K-pop still successful. Because one of the things that makes K-pop successful in a lot of ways is the amount of control they have over their artist, is like the way in which we don't know enough to be icked out by them. There's not like a kind of like a Justin Bieber-esque relationship with them. It's very controlled. And so is that something you can sustain moving forward and still get the attention that is needed in order for the industry to expand? I'm not sure. I'm really not sure, but it is an interesting thought to think. And I think New Jeans is an example. And so I'm really looking forward to hearing the album. I will cover it, the album and the music and all that stuff, because we still, girl, we're still grown ass fandom, baby. Grown ass fandom always, but we're just expanding. Also, you guys also missed, I have an Etsy store. The Etsy store, heyshinee.etsy.com, and there's a bunch of like BTS merch on there. There's a, I think there, I need to like redo it, because thank you for reminding me to do that, but like there's a Damn It Jungkook tote and t-shirt and mug. There's like all sorts of fun stuff. So if you want to get some merch, you can get it. You can get a grown ass fandom and a grown ass army t-shirt. Lots of great stuff over there. And yeah, I'm happy to be back. How often will there be podcasts? I don't know. I think my goal is like every other week for the podcast, like twice a month, like bi-weekly for this space. And for, of course, on Substack, I post every single week. So that is the deal. And yeah, dudes, like this is fun. I'm super excited to be back. If I haven't talked to you in a while, please reach out to me and say hello. And yeah, I'll see you guys soon. Bye.